Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for everyone who's here. And we just ask, Lord, for your blessing upon all that happens as our kids go and off to Kids Church, Kingdom Kids. We just pray for your blessing upon them. Open up this time of learning out of the scriptures today for us. Bless the offering. We just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you love all the little kids running around our church lately? It just blesses my heart. And if you're not a child headed to Children's Church, pull out your Bibles. You can turn or tap to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be finishing up this lengthy sermon series called Everyday Disciple today. And I'm really excited about it. It's one of my favorite topics, he said sarcastically, learning to manage your time. So we've been talking about what it is to be a disciple, following Jesus, some of the attributes of following Jesus. We've kind of broke out the last month and a half into areas that we need to manage in our lives as Christians, as Jesus followers. And we've been really tracking along with a discipleship curriculum that we use to help mentor and disciple new Christians. And as a part of that curriculum is this area of time management. And as I approached this topic, I began to break out in cold sweats. My relationship with time is very rocky. And so I will not be teaching you how to Benjamin Franklin your schedule. we are going to, however, talk about some sections and segments of time in our lives with the big idea of just Holy Spirit inspired use of that time. As we give blocks of our time over to God, I want us to be thinking about, praying about, God, what can you do with this period of time of my life? Because I believe that God always has something more for us. I believe that he wants us to use our lives and the time that we have for good, for him, to bring him glory and to be a blessing to others. So this is what we're going to talk about today, time, learning to manage your time. And so just as a personal reflection, why did he just confess he was so bad on time? We did a personality assessment a few years ago, there are some 16 different personalities and da da da. One of the areas is on how you relate to time. Some of you relate to time just very literally as time unfolds. Like you have an order of things, you do certain things at certain times, you have schedules, calendars, you've got blocked times in the day. How many are very linear when it comes to time and you just manage time? God bless you people. Okay, the rest of us manage time like this. Okay, so time is it's a thing. It's not really that important to people like me. So I'm not teaching you time management. What I am teaching you is to give your whole life to Jesus. No matter how you manage time, you only have so much of it, right? And so the big chunk here is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. He says this. He says, I want you to look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 16, making the best use of the time. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, when you go into that verse 16, and make the best use of your time because the days are evil. How many of you would just double down and say amen? Okay. The word evil there, and this is true in New Testament Greek, Old Testament Hebrew, very similar in meaning of those words. Two basic meanings in the Greek here. It means what you think it means, that it is actually evil, something that is wicked. Things that are evil can be wicked, but sometimes the meaning doesn't go all the way to that extent and just means troublesome, wearisome, something that weighs upon you. That can also be defined as evil. And how many of you would recognize that we do have wickedness in the world today? And we also, as a result of that, have just a lot of burdens and wearisome things that go on in our lives as well. Right? And so that I think it's probably a spectrum of things. But he says here, either by either definition, verse 16, make the best use of your time. Whether you are just fighting the struggle of life, the common struggle of life, or as this is, can also mean that there's even greater evil that's actually wicked. But either way, we need to make the best use of our time. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And this is really going to spring off into the next series coming next week when we talk about staying in the fight. We need to make the best use of our time. And I'm going to break this down into seven sections of time that all of us have. And we're going to start with the biggest chunk of time that we get and work down to the smallest time. The first one is this. I want you to give God your century. I want you to give God your century. Now, I just want to tell you, I rounded up for most of us. But give God your century. I want you to imagine with me what it would be like, what is possible for God to do when you give your whole life to him. You know, and I kind of poke at this pretty regularly, that sometimes we just think that being a Christian is just a couple of things, like church on Sunday, or you own a Bible, and you start reading it every January, and those are some of the things that we kind of reduce down into categories of things. Like being a Christian is just something as a part of my life. But this give God your century is really about giving God all of your life as long as you live. And just with that anticipation that God has great things, great plans. And one of the most beautiful things that I get to do as a pastor is do baby dedications, right? And so what do we do with that little child? Sometimes it is a baby. Sometimes it's as the child grows, maybe the family comes to Christ and the kids are a little bit older. But either way, young in life is the best time to start knowing Jesus. It's why we focus on children's ministry so much. It's why this Good News Club is so important. If we can find children and introduce them to Jesus, we can save them an incredible amount of evil in their lives. So what are those things? And just imagine, wherever you're at, you say, well, that's too late for me. It doesn't really matter. Whatever time you got left is your century. Epitaphs are important. What do you want yours to say? I looked up some famous epitaphs, and my favorite was, I told you I was ill. Like, that's a pretty good one. I'm churning around on a couple of things, but what do you, this is the century. There's going to be a day when the people that you love bury you. And there's going to be a summation of your life, and that's important. And what you do during that period of time of your life is going to be talked about, reminisced, and if I have the honor of doing your funeral, I just want you to know something up front, okay? I don't lie at funerals. Okay, so live your life in such a way that I've got something to work with. Right? You need more than a list of hobbies. You need some accomplishments for Christ. In Psalm 90, I read this. This psalm is a psalm of Moses. The head title of it is Moses, the Man of God. And he is writing, and it's the whole psalm is a bit of a bummer. How many of you know some of the psalms can be like have this tone? This is a very solemn toned psalm. And so he says this, and he's kind of frustrated, it seems like, as you read it, some of the futility of life and some of the evil, and which is the burdens of life, and ultimately he comes down, and we're going to read verses 10 to 17. He says, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Verse 11, who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Now, when he says this, he says, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. The first couple of verses in this psalm, he talks about people's lives as beginning in the morning and ending in the evening. So life is so fast that it's like grass that grows fast in the morning, has full of life, and by afternoon, evening, it has withered and died. See, I told you it was a solemn psalm. But he says, teach us to number our days. And so satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. That's, Lord, help me to know you deeply early in my life. So as a parent, as a grandparent, as a pastor, there's nothing greater or more important than for our kids and our grandkids to know Christ early and deeply. Lord, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And so there are some high points of gladness in this psalm. In verse 15, it says, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us. Okay, now I got too much to say to land too long on that, but I just think Moses is hilarious, right? Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us. How many of you tend to think about the afflictions of life more than the joys of life? Okay? Moses, I don't know when in his life he's writing this. I imagine he's not a young person. I think he's later in life. He has seen a lot. He's got a lot of scars, a lot of victories, and a lot of frustrations. And the sum of it is, he says, God, make me glad in my life. For as many years as we have seen evil, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Verse 17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for my kids, for my grandson, all future grandchildren, whatever comes along. It's my prayer of all the people that we've ever touched or ministered to. We've been doing Vacation Bible School for as long as I can remember. And all those kids, some have come back, some haven't come back, but seeds were planted. And it's important. Lord, establish the work of our hands upon us. What is the work of your hands? This is the century. What you do matters. Because we will face God, and the most important words we can ever hear from the Lord are, well done, good and faithful servant. Number two, give God your season of life. Give God your season of life. What can God do in this season of your life? Now, we are headed, I hate even to say it, We are headed into fall, right? I'm not talking about the four seasons of a year. I'm talking about how many of you would be willing to admit you're in the fall of life, okay? How many of you are in the spring of life? God bless you guys. How many of you are in the hot, stinking, humid days of summer? Okay, yes, okay. So that's what I'm talking about. Whatever age you are, it's a season that you're in. And some of the refreshing things about seasons is some things just don't fit into the season that you're in. How many of you get overwhelmed with all the things you should do, need to do, get pressed on, and not everything needs to be done in every season? But the King Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. He's talking about the seasons of life. He says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. I mean, you know, different things happen in different seasons of your life. What does God want to do in your season of life? It's been said, and I think it's probably true enough, to break it down into the four seasons of life. What would spring be like? Spring would be like, as a kid, growing, learning, just developing information intake, skills developed, but even more importantly than that, character being built. As a young person, just learning who you are in this world, who God has made you to be, that is growing and learning. That ultimately happens in the early years of your life. Then you transition into the plan of season of your life, of building, planting of your life. And this would be young adulthood, I think, that it might include for you marriage and kids and family. It might not, but nevertheless, you are building and planting this in this season of your life. It's a lot of work, let me just say. It's a lot of work, but the next season is a beautiful season. It's a season of fruitfulness, harvesting, and productivity. It's the season I hope that I'm in. But nevertheless, the fourth season being finishing well, aging well, keeping a good attitude, accepting limitations, and mentoring and teaching and encouraging others. Every season has something important in it for you, whether or not whatever season you're in, God has something for you. And so just ask the Lord to help you answer the question, Lord, what do you want to do in my life in this season? And he will answer you. The third thing is give God your year. Give God your year. What could God do in the next year? What could God do in the next year in your life? I think and hope that the answer to that question is more than you can think or imagine. This is ministry plans. This is things that you want to start, things you want to start learning. Here's another plug in the middle of my sermon. We're starting a new Bible reading plan this Tuesday through the Bible app. Through the Bible is an historical plan to Jesus that starts Tuesday. Maybe this is the year you read through the Bible. Make that commitment and start. This is back to school season, right? Hallelujah. If you don't have kids, we're entering into pumpkin spice season. It's coming faster than you think. But this is I do enjoy breaks of the season because it helps me reset, because I get so out of sorts with my time management. Like a new season comes, like, oh yeah, there's new things. Let's just forget the past and start over again. Just reset the clock, right? We're in that season right now. This is summer is closing up, finishing up. It's get back to church. It's get back into the things of life. This is a productive season, is fall. So give God your year. Number four, give God a day per week. Give God a day per week. This under Old Testament law, it would be Sabbath, which for the Jews was Saturday. I don't think that the day of the week, the specific day of the week, is what's important for us. We don't count days and go that way. But we need a day of rest, a day of honoring God, a day of worshiping God, a day of gathering together as his people, right? For us, that's Sunday. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, it says, "And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Okay, now that is an interesting thing, and I'll get to that word day in just a moment. But he says here, this is important that we gather together as Christians, that there is something powerful that happens in the Spirit when Christians get together and encourage one another and stir one another up to love and good deeds. Okay, and I think this idea of the evil days and the solemnness of this and the weight of life plays into this, because we need to come together and help each other, right? Throughout the week, I don't mean to be a pessimist. I show up as one every once in a while. I joke, I'm a recovering pessimist, but like, the weight just keeps loading, 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 and loading, and loading until you get back to church. Woohoo! Let's praise Jesus. Life is good. The catastrophizing of the week is over. New set. Here we go, Jesus. Ready for the week. Okay? It's important to do that. What can God do in your life when you set aside one day a week just to worship him and just to rest? It's so important and powerful. And Pastor Jim and I have talked and joked over the years that growing up, I don't know if it was, Pastor Jim, if it was your dad or who it was, but always said, Sunday morning starts Saturday night, right? So Sunday morning starts Saturday night. What was that meaning of that? Like, if you're going to get up and come to church, then you have to go to bed at least in enough time Saturday night to get up Sunday morning. Okay. Now, like I said, I'm not gonna mess with a lot of time management, but that's at least one thing I will mess with you on. Come to church. Come to church. It's important. It's good for you, and it's good for those around you. Okay. So that was number four. Give God a day per week. Number five, give God a few hours per week. What do I mean by that? That's just ministry. That's just ministry. Go back to give God your century. You need more than hobbies. You need to take a couple of hours every week and do something for the kingdom. And that can be pretty much, you know, it is whatever the Holy Spirit leads you into, but find something useful to do for the kingdom. We're all gifted different. We can go back, you know, last week, talk about managing your gifts and finding and discovering who Christ has wired you to be and gifted you to be. But use that gift in the, how many were here last week and remember the glory loop, the grace glory loop, right? Grace comes down from God. He gives us the gifts, the abilities, the desires, and the fruitfulness to give, to work in this world and to give him the glory. This is, I'm aiming low with a couple of hours, a few hours, 3 to 5 hours, 60 hours. I don't know how many it's going to take. But do something intentional for the kingdom. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he says this, Paul's writing to Timothy, he says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." What is he telling Timothy? Timothy was known to be timid, and he had a great anointing upon his life. As Paul and others got around and prayed for him, he received a gift from the Holy Spirit, and he is being told here to fan it into flame. How many of you have ever tried to light a campfire before? Okay, I used to be out there with the lighter and everything. I just quit all that, and I go straight to a blowtorch now. Like, I cheat when I light fires. I just light that sucker on fire. But even with that, it takes some fanning to come into full flame. And because it's everything in all of our gifts in this world that comes to us from Christ, we don't start off being fruitful or awesome. It starts small, and you have to fan that thing into flame. That takes time and purposefully using those gifts, and that takes some intentionality. The sixth thing, give God 30 minutes a day. This is, you could round up or round down, but I like the word 30. So that's just, but 30 minutes a day, this is a time of devotion, reading scriptures, get your Bible out, find a quiet time, a quiet place. Those of you who have small kids, good luck. But on a very regular basis, daily, find time to spend time with the Lord. Psalm 5, verse 3 says this. This is the psalmist writes. He says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly." And I read that verse, you know, because I was looking for daily devotional kind of scriptures to share with you. That just settled in my heart and gave me really hope and faith for the things that I'm praying for. Lord, you're going to hear my voice in the morning. I'm going to start the day with prayer. We're going to start today by thinking about you, making my requests known, and then with great expectation, wait and see what you're going to do. Wait and see what you're going to do. My in-laws were just in town last week, Wayne and Margaret, and we were talking about a fella in their church that was pretty sick, and the church was praying for him, and God healed him. And my father-in-law, we were just talking about the prayer and stuff, and he just joked around. He says, "We were praying for him, but we weren't sure God was going to do anything." Right? How many of you ever prayed and you're like, "Eh"? Okay. This is pray with expectation, anticipation. Lord, what are you going to do today? Some days I get into grumpiness, right? Anybody? Okay. And this is something that I started a little while ago. When I notice I'm in a grumpy morning and I'm more sanctified than the other option, I will say to myself, it's going to be a good day. Lord, it's going to be a good day. And that usually snaps me out of the grumpiness. Like, God, this is a day of potential. This is a day that you have made, and you have promised to me that your joy comes in the morning, that you are new, your mercies are new every morning. No matter what happened yesterday, last week, today's a new day, and you're going to hear my voice, and I'm going to lay my request before you. And I'm just going to wait and see what you can do. Give God 30 minutes a day. Last one is this. Give God 3 minutes. Say, well, that's a pretty low expectation. It is unless it's you listening to someone else. Then 3 minutes is a long time. How many of you ever heard someone talk and you're like, oh, please take a breath so I can... Okay, yeah. There's a... You're... Wow. Okay, so 3 minutes is a long time if it's someone telling a story. So I want you to take this recommendation. What is your story in 3 minutes or less? What has God done in your life? And could you tell that story in 3 minutes or less? This is your salvation elevator pitch. Have you ever heard of an elevator pitch? 3 minutes is about how long you have on an elevator. If you happen to get on an elevator with the person you're pitching your big idea to, you've got 3 minutes before the doors open up and they quit listening. And so you may have only a few minutes to help someone be introduced to Jesus. So what is a three-minute testimony, or what is a three-minute story pitch? Here's three questions I want you to ask and answer and boil it down to 3 minutes. What was your life like before Jesus? How did you encounter Jesus? And what has changed in your life since encountering Jesus? That's it. Three questions, 3 minutes. You share your life story. How many of you have ever been intimidated before? You say, well, I need to be a witness and you know, I wanted to share Jesus with people, but you know, I'm not an apologist and I don't remember scriptures and verses. And how many of you have ever just been intimidated because you don't want to say the wrong thing, you don't want to look stupid? Here's the, you cannot argue with your story. Okay?
Is there something else I can help with?
No. 3 minutes. But give God 3 minutes. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. One of these days, Siri is getting saved. I'm just telling you this. No, she isn't. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. I will say yes and amen. That scripture, I believe that. But I think there is one thing that we can take out of this world, and that's friends. Except for people. We can share our story in Christ, and it introduces others to Christ. Whether or not they receive, whether or not they are ready, that's not our place. We plant, we water, God is the one who gives the increase. But your story makes a difference. What were you like before knowing Jesus? What happened in your encounter with Christ? What has changed in your life since knowing Jesus? That's a personal testimony, 3 minutes or less. I don't know if you can or even should take all of my advice today. But if there was one section of time in your life that the Holy Spirit highlighted for you during this message and said to you, that's something you need to pay attention to, take the one thing. Did the Holy Spirit talk to you about your century, your season, your year? One day a week, a few hours per week, 30 minutes a day, or 3 minutes. And let's take that to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for the gift of life. Our life. You have given us hope and a future. You have given us, Lord, a desire to serve you. And sometimes, Lord, we just need moments of resetting perspective. And Lord, whatever that season, whatever that time slot is that you highlighted for us individually today, we pray for the grace that strengthens us in the moment of whatever that is that moves us to action. Because, Lord, we want to follow Jesus. We don't want to just know things. We want life change. We want our lives to matter for you, to have impact for the kingdom, that others would know you too. We love you, Lord, and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.